and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today, we're going to be focusing in on our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11. If you want to follow along in the pew Bibles, it's on page 816 or in your own Bibles, where Matthew 11, beginning with verse 25. Now, reminder, the children are staying in. And we do have, as I said, clipboards out in the fellowship hall. And if ushers could have a couple of those in the back in case somebody needs one. But if the children get restless, you can hear everything out in the fellowship hall as well. But we're here all together. This is a family service, and we're going to worship together and hear God's word together. So I want to start this morning with a question for the children. So children, if you do have pens and pencils out, I want your attention for a second. I want to ask you a question, and I'm actually looking for an answer. What does it mean when Jesus says this? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do any children have an idea of what that means? Raise your hand if you have an idea. What do you think that means, Annalie? That his Holy Spirit will come upon us and take care of us when we do what? When we praise him, right. Anybody else have an insight? Because that's true, but what about this yoke thing? Any of you kids have an idea of what Jesus means? Take my yoke upon you? I'm going to ask a littler. Do you have any other? Okay. Who had their hand up first? Okay, ladies first. Ellie. He will help you do your work, right? Justin, what were you going to add? He wants us to reside in him as he resides in us. That's right. So there's this sense of a yoke and a burden, and it's complicated, right? So I'm actually going to ask, I asked earlier, Lucas, would you be willing to come up and help me for a second? Come on up here for a second. I've got something that I need your help with. Oh, he doesn't need shoes on. Well, he might. Lucas, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to help me. We're going to carry this over there, okay? So can you pick that up and carry that over there for me? Oh. So the beginning part of this verse is, come to me, you who are weary and burdened. So sometimes if you carry things on your shoulders, it's helpful. So let me put this on your shoulders. Okay, lean forward a little bit. Lean forward. Okay, how's that feel? Okay. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Well, a yoke is something that goes between two oxen. In theory, they're the same height, so that they can carry something across. Scott, come on up. I'm going to need your assistance with this. So instead of putting this on both of our shoulders, lean forward a little bit. That's not going to work. So you're going to hold that, okay? Now, you couldn't move that by yourself, but let's pretend this is a yoke across our shoulders. And Scott, could you bring that over and put that right here? Set it on there. Okay, Lucas, let's carry it over there. How's it feel? Is it just as heavy? No. Is it easier to move? Can you jump? Let's walk back over here now. Going backwards in flip-flops even. And now let's set it down. So that's what the yoke looks like, where Jesus, no matter how heavy our burdens are, He'll carry the weight for us, and he takes the load off, and he carries it with us. Does that make sense? Thanks for coming up. You're a good sport. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. And as we discuss and reflect on it today, you're going to see it's grounded in Jesus' reference to childlike faith. I involve the children for two purposes there, because their faith is what's central to this. So in our discussion today of childlike faith, we're going to contrast two things, pride and humility. Our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11 begins with verse 25. And that should appear, but if you have it, take a look. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. At that time, at what time, you might be wondering. You've heard me say before, context is king. What's the context? What is at that time? What's going on? Well, let's go back a few verses to verse 20, where we read this. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. These cities had seen Jesus' power, and they could care less. It's at that time, as he denounces those unrepentant cities, as he calls them out, woe to you because you have not repented. Woe to you, Jesus says, because you refuse to believe in me. It's at that time that Jesus makes this declaration in verse 25. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. The next thing in front of us are these things. What things? These things. Well, remember, they didn't repent. They were refusing to acknowledge Jesus as Messiah, to acknowledge God's power in Jesus. They were rejecting Jesus. These things represent God's redemption in Jesus, God's restoration. They represent repentance at Jesus' name. These are God's kingdom principles, these things. And they're hidden from whom? The wise and the understanding, or the wise and the learned in another version, or the wise and mature in faith. And they're revealed to who? Children or little children? That's kind of important. So, I ask you this, what's the underlying root source for unrepentance, for this refusal to repent, or for their stubbornness? What underlies it all at the core? Pride. That's right. Pride. It's been said that pride is the root of every sin, that pride is the root of every evil. Think of Adam and Eve. It was pride. They wanted to be like God. Did God really say they were tempted with? They wanted their way. It was pride that led them to turn away from God. Pride and its self-centeredness. Pride and its stubbornness. Pride and its unrepentance lies and undergirds all sin, is the source. Jesus calls out these cities in Matthew 11 for their prideful rejection of himself. These were Jewish cities that knew God's word, and yet with all of their knowledge and understanding, they rejected Jesus. He identifies their pride and their wisdom in their learning, and they're blinded by their understanding of God, in their superiority of their knowledge. And Jesus declares there, in their pride, they're rejected. And God's grace and mercy and kingdom is revealed instead to little children. Usually the kids are better, but I know they're busy writing. So parents, I need, and adults, I need you to kind of get involved when I'm looking for a response. So here we have a contrast between pride and little children. Well, what do the little children represent, do you think? Or to put it another way, what's the opposite of pride? Humility. Good, you were listening at the beginning when I said pride and humility. Humility is the opposite, an opposite of pride, but the opposite as we're concerned this morning. Pride and humility. And Jesus uses little children. But this wasn't the only time that Jesus used little children or used children as illustrations for humility. From Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4, we read this. The disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus put a child in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Well, note, it's not only did Jesus say the kingdom of God is revealed to little children, as we read Matthew 11, but here in Matthew 18, Jesus proclaims, "Unless you are like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is serious business. This, then, should bring to mind Jesus' intense discussion with Nicodemus, one of the Jewish Pharisees and teachers of the law, from John chapter 3. One of those Jesus, in our passage, referred to as the wise and the learned. The wise and the understanding. And recall, Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again. Go to the next slide from John chapter 3. Nicodemus asks Jesus a question, and Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus replies, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus makes it clear here and in the other passages, one must become like a child. One must possess childlike faith. One must be humble like a child if they are to comprehend, embrace, and enter the kingdom of God. And I would add, one must possess a childlike faith if they are to be followers of Jesus. Children are used by Jesus to identify the core characteristic necessary for salvation, the core character trait necessary to live as a follower or a disciple of Jesus and experience his life, his joy, and his peace. And that core trait is humility. Children, in Jesus' illustration, children by nature are humble. Now hold on, I know some parents are gasping right now. I want to be clear, in no way does Jesus declare children to be sinless or perfect, but he does use them as an illustration for humility. Now, for this illustration, to help with some of the conflict in your brains, I'm thinking of 1 to 3-year-olds. Let's go to that age. In general, 1 to 3-year-olds, when they wake up in the morning, when they're with their parents or their caregivers, in general, they're pleasant. They're peaceful, of course, unless they're wet or hungry. But do we describe a 1-year-old or a 3-year-old waking up in the morning as weary and heavy laden? Are they concerned about what they're going to do, what to do first? Are they anxious about money? Are they fearful of what might happen next? But no, in general, they're excited to see whoever was over the crib. In general, they're peaceful in their state of complete dependence on their caregivers. That's the picture that I believe Jesus is portraying here. And I want to suggest to you 3 aspects of humility in this discussion. 3 aspects of humility is seen in children: trust, vulnerability, and dependence. Now, children are trusting. Now, remember, thinking little children with their parents, they'll go where they take them. You don't carry a one-year-old and they argue, I don't want to go there. Why are we going there? They're mostly happy to be with you. You load them in the car. They aren't complaining about how long it's taking. They're mostly happy to be there. Of course, wet and hungry, we're canceling those out. They're trusting. They don't second guess. Children are also vulnerable. They let you know how they feel. Amen? Children don't hide their emotions. Gosh, I shouldn't be happy. I should mute my happiness. They're happy when they're happy. Inappropriate or appropriate times. They're screaming when they're unhappy. Inappropriate and appropriate times. They're vulnerable. They don't mask or hide. They are who they are and how they feel. So they're trusting, they're vulnerable, and they're dependent. They're entirely dependent on their caregivers. That one-year-old is not climbing out of their crib, using the restroom, and then cooking eggs. Entirely dependent. They're unable to advance their own priorities without assistance. I love that description. Children are unable to advance their own priorities without assistance. That's dependence. In that state, trusting, vulnerable, and dependent, again, children are not burdened. They're joyful, they're peaceful. They're content. And they radiate that. Childlike faith and humility is just that. That's what Jesus is giving us a picture of. Trusting, vulnerable, and dependent. Pride seeks its own way. Pride puts yourself before others. Pride puts yourself before God and His best and His plan. Pride is all about you. Childlike faith and humility is all about God. Trusting Him, seeking Him first, depending on Him and His word, and then reflecting Him to the world like that child, reflecting the joy that they have. If you take just a little time to reflect on Jesus through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus is the essence of humility. He submitted to the Father's plan. He set aside His divinity. Well, no, He didn't set aside His divinity. He set aside His throne in heaven. I'm looking at the bishop there, and I knew I had to back up on that one. He set aside His throne in heaven to be born in flesh. He humbly followed the Father's plan. He humbled Himself to only speak and teach what the Father gave Him. He humbled Himself to go away and seek the Father's plan all by Himself. He only did, as He said, what the Father told Him to do. He didn't live to be served, but He humbly came to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. To be a follower of Jesus is to seek to be like Jesus. Jesus as the essence of Christ-like humility. He is that. He is humility. And so we as His followers are to emulate His humility in all that you do. That is to be a disciple and a follower. So humility is the key to living as a follower of Jesus, to receiving God's kingdom principles, to comprehending and embracing salvation through repentance. It's with this humility that you will live day to day, yoked with Jesus, under that yoke where He shoulders your burdens. He carries them with you and for you. He will lead you in conversations and He will shine through whatever it is you're doing. Whether you're sitting down or standing up or walking on the road or lying down or driving or walking or shopping, He will be reflected through you if you are emulating His humility. So this is all wonderful to comprehend until you start to apply it to yourself. That's what I found. It's wonderful to comprehend until the penny drops and you begin to think, do I see this humility in myself? Do I see this humility in the church? Does your life reflect trust, vulnerability, and dependence on Jesus? What does the world see? Does your life reveal that you are living under his yoke? What's readily identifiable in your life? Pride or Christ-like humility? What is seen in your action? What is heard under your breath when no one else is around? What pervades your thoughts? Pride and self-orientation or Christ-like humility? Loving God first and your neighbor as yourself. It's a book called Discipling, and I just want to read an excerpt. If you've ever seen pigs come through to a trough for a mealtime, you can probably imagine it. Pushing, shoving, snorting, swallowing as much as they can with no thought for the other pigs. Here's a funny question worth thinking about for a moment. Is that how you attend church? No, I'm not calling you a pig, but stop and consider. Where did you park? What time did you get to church? Where did you sit? Who did you speak to? Each one of these decisions provided you with an opportunity to give yourself to others and so join the work of Christ. Or they provided you with an opportunity to look out for yourself, do what's best for you, and get what you want. So which was it? Did you consciously strategize how to bless others with each one of those decisions? How often to those who would say that they're mature in faith or those in Christian leadership exhibit pride rather than humility? How often do Christ's followers put themselves above others rather than caring for others, caring for the lost, compassion for the poor, the marginalized, grace for those who just simply irritate us? And this is where my preparation for this sermon smacked me right between my eyes. So there I was, reflecting on this earlier this week. I had just been writing and journaling, and I got into my car, needed to run an errand, and I'm sitting at a stoplight. I'm the third car back, reflecting on, Lord, I want that Christ-like humility. I want to think and put others before me. Will you grow that in me, Lord Jesus? And the light turned green. And I continued to pray, and we didn't go anywhere. And in a heartbeat, I was yelling inside of my car, "Move, you idiot, the light's green!" And I heard that. I heard an amen, but I'm not affirming that. Instantly, wow, that's Christ-like humility, Bill. Well done. Were they perhaps in a heart-wrenching conversation on the phone? Were they pondering where their next meal was going to come from? Yeah, of course I went to, were they just surfing on their phone? But who am I to put myself before them? Why couldn't I just pray for them? Lord, whatever's happening up there, first get them moving, but bless them. Now, maybe, okay, Christ-like humility. Lord, bless them. And take care of me and help me to get to wherever it is I'm going in the time you want me to be there. This isn't an easy walk. Remember, in the midst of asking for Christ-like humility, I'm yelling in my car. I so often, first and foremost, are about me and my needs, and who cares about the others who are in my way. I so often quickly reflect pride, not humility. I apologize where this applies to you, but I encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit. Living with Christ-like humility and faith like a child is a moment-by-moment decision to walk with the Lord Jesus, to listen for his voice, to filter the pride and the sin that will come forth in your brain, to filter those through through him. And then to respond with his conviction under his leadership. And there we will reflect his humility. Not because we were perfect, but because we were listening when he smacked us with his gentle board and begins to change and transform our hearts. So two things I want to close with this morning. First, oftentimes, why are we short and prickly and bossy and unhappy and yelling in our cars? Why? Because we're weary and we're burdened. And we're carrying this stuff ourselves. I hope that each one of you today will heed Jesus' call to humbly step into his yoke and let him carry whatever it is you're carrying, to turn to him with trust, vulnerability, and dependence, to sit under his yoke and depend on him and allow him to give you his peace and his rest. Secondly, I pray that you will daily take time this week, moment by moment, to reflect on this upside-down kingdom principle of God's kingdom, where it's not the wise and the learned and the mature that are like Christ, but it's those who have been transformed by the Holy Spirit to have childlike faith. Take time to reflect on that you must be like children in your faith to enter his kingdom and to live as his follower. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.